This episode is brought to you by Green Room. Green Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk to fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport.
You're Locked On Sharks, your daily podcast on the San Jose Sharks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Locked On Sharks, your daily source of everything Team San Jose. I'm your host, Kyle Demetrius. Back with, as always, are JD and Eric, the 2020 and 2022 to my 2023 draft. We're skipping over 2021 because it's not very good. But I don't know. You guys started laughing. I thought you were going to say something like,
"Oh no, it's pretty good." It's pretty good. There's a big bright spot in the 2021 draft, but yes. Otherwise, yeah.
It's
worth.
So we covered off the draft on Monday. What our thoughts were, what we thought of DW's 5 years of drafting. Obviously, we covered off E5. For our guest, we're calling William Eklund E5 because there's nothing better than a nerdy hockey joke. So we covered off all of that stuff, but that doesn't really do it justice because we weren't grinding tape of Gannon Larocque in Victoria. So
speak for yourself.
Max McHugh, I know everything about him. I'm a regular Pierre Maguire. So what we've done to give you guys the best possible content on the 2021 San Jose Sharks draft is we brought back noted guest Bill Scouch, who on draft night after William Eklund was taken in all caps lock in three different messages sent boys, spelled B-O-I-Z, then speak to me, and then God bless D-W-J.
I did do that. I will confirm that happened.
Yes. BFF of the show officially. Yes.
I had to, and I knew it was going to happen. I told you last time. I thought, you know, it would be awesome if it happened, and I think it could happen. And yet here we are.
We didn't break the faith like everybody else broke the faith.
Yep.
And was talking about, well, I don't know how he falls. I messaged some people who are fans of teams or bloggers, writers of teams above San Jose. And they were all saying, oh, I think Eklund's going top three. I think Eklund's going here. But we never broke the faith. Mm-hmm. Faith. I've broken many faces. But, Will, did San Jose get the best player in the draft?
I think they got the second best player in the draft.
Whoa, who's number one?
Matt Beniers. Oh,
Beniers was my number one.
Yeah. So same with Doug Wilson Jr. He openly said
Beniers was one and Eklund was two.
He's a smart fella, I think. like I said, yeah. I think William Eklund is at the very worst a top three player in the draft. I think he's tremendous. And you could poke a hole in it and say, well, the San Jose Sharks have no centers, but I don't care. You draft William Eklund, like you draft him and forget about it, especially with regards to who went off the board shortly after him, like Brant Clark and Dylan Gunther, like those two guys versus William Eklund. I think I know where I'm going. And Tyler Boucher, that's a whole other conversation. with all due respect to Tyler Boucher and the Ottawa Senators, but you take William Eklund and just see what happens. So, I mean, I was surprised that I saw Doug Wilson Jr. come out and say that they think Eklund could be a center. I think it's possible, but I was surprised that they came right out and were like, yeah, we're going to give it a go. I think he'd be a better winger, but whatever.
They might be preemptively hammering off the pundits who, because they drafted 9 wingers last year.
Maybe. Yeah.
We're just like blowing a little smoke up the fan base's collective arsehole because they need something exciting. And yes. And people are like, well, who's going to play center?
I can tell you who's not playing center. It's 2022 draft pick, Juraj Slepkovský, because he's also a winger. But that's neither here nor there. I don't know if we need to spend a ton of time on E5. I think we've kind of beat him to death. So let's jump into the guys that we don't really know about. Who is your favorite Sharks pick
out of the rest? Oh, God. They did a lot of things that I thought were really neat, especially for a team that didn't pick until 81st. I mean, it kind of sucks that they traded away the pick to St. Louis that became Simon Robertson in the third round. That was a shocking, shocking drop there. I could not believe what I was seeing, but whatever. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I don't think I'm that wrong, but maybe. But whatever. I mean, you got a goalie, and Ben Gaudreau is a pretty good one. Mm-hmm. I've seen a bit of Gannon LaRocque since the draft, and I don't know. He's kind of big, got some skill. There's a bit there, but like, I don't know. I didn't think he was 103rd overall kind of player, but I don't know. He's very young. That's another advantage. And Victoria was very bad, so that's also kind of hard to pick through. But Ethan Cardwell, Liam Gilmartin, and Theo Jacobson, I thought were all really, really interesting swings. I thought Ethan Cardwell was a maybe third round pick last year. He was in my third round
last year.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Well, yeah, he was probably the best player that went undrafted last year, and he absolutely destroyed the Swedish third division this year. He just completely dismantled it. He had points on like 65% of his team's goals, and nobody even came close to that.
Is that good?
Yeah, that's really, really, really fucking good. and so he did, you know, I mean, that's obviously the third division in Sweden, but he looked pretty good doing it. And I am really impressed. I'm not impressed, but I'm really glad that he got himself a draft pick, especially in the middle rounds of the draft. Gilmartin is a guy who I also had my third round this year, just like Cardwell, and they got him at 167. He's a well-rounded guy, physical, got a bit of skill to him as well. You know, there might be a Swiss Army knife guy there down the road. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's ever like a top six, you know, guy, but he has the physicality, but he has also some skill and some mobility that could fill out maybe a depth role or a bottom six role. Yeah, something like that, maybe. I mean, he's a bit of a ways away from that, but I think that it's possible. And Theo Jacobson is a fascinating one. He caught my eye early in the year after he got called up to the under 20 team in Moto. And I thought he was really impressive there. I mean, he was a guy who scored a ton at the under 18 level. They called him up pretty quickly. And he didn't score a ton of points at the under 20 level this year. But I mean, the thing is, I think there was an adjustment period for him coming up from the under 18, because the under 18 level in Sweden is really desperate in the quality of teams. Like, it's kind of all over the place and it's not the best hockey, but you do see flashes of him. He's got great hands. That's the biggest thing with him. He was one of the most efficient offensive transition players I've tracked this year. A lot of really good sort of deception ability with that. He just gets across blue lines effectively. He's got a pretty decent nose to get to the net. His shot isn't great, but you see a lot of interesting fundamentals there. And I think that, you know, late round swing here, like, I think there's a bit of a long shot, but he's got a lot. He had, like, even just looking at the hands that he's got, the skill that he has with his hands, it's way better than a 177th overall pick. But there's just a lot of other things in his game that are maybe not quite there yet. But again, you're picking 177, and that's kind of the idea. You try to round these guys out. The rest of them, I mean, Gurriev and McHugh didn't play this year, so I don't know. I've seen a bit of McHugh from last year with London, and I think he's an interesting pick in 156 in terms of guys who haven't played. Like, he's another kind of Jacobson guy where there's some pure skill and upside there, but it's impossible for me to say that he was a steal or whatever, and I'm not as confident with him as a guy that didn't play this year as other guys that went in the same range, kind of like Ty Voigt, for example. But Yevgeny Kashnikov is the other guy they took, and he was one of those guys where there was one game I watched and he caught my eye once and I went, oh. And then I watched a whole bunch of tape on him and I was like, all right, so this guy's kind of like a guy, but he can skate and he's huge, so cool. And at
skating and huge is a good starting point.
Yeah. Like at 199, a big guy who can skate on defense, like, that's a decent foundation point, I guess. And you never know. I was very pleased to see him get a pick. I didn't have him ranked, but I did for a couple of days. And then I was like, I don't know, maybe like as a flyer if a bunch of scouts on the team really love him. But and I guess San Jose saw it the same and was like, well, let's see what happens. At 199, there weren't a ton of guys that I was going to go to bat for. But if you want a big guy who can skate playing defense, it seems like a lot of teams just took swings on guys like that this year. So San Jose was another one of them.
This episode is brought to you by Green Room. Green Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sports. Green Room is a perfect place to start or join conversations about the NHL. You'll find fans just like yourself on Green Room for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and of course, reacting to big news and rumors. You can even find Locked On hosts across the NBA, MLB, and NHL. We'll be doing our Green Rooms again once the season starts, so make sure you guys go to download the free Green Room app, currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the NHL group for the latest league updates. I know you'll find a bunch of incredible rooms in your favorite teams and leagues. We can't wait for you guys to join us back when the season starts. So make sure you guys follow us along for the Locked On Sharks channel and download the Green Room app today. Green Room, changing the way we talk sports.
I'm about to be a dad, and the one thing I don't want to have is a dad bod. In order to keep the dad bod away, I'm going to turn to Built Bar. Built Bar has 9 delicious flavors that people are passionate about, including coconut, coconut almond, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, and more. Not only are their flavors amazing, but like I said, they're healthy too. Most of the flavors have 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar, and only 4 grams of net carbs. So order today and get your favorite flavor, whatever you like. Use a promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your first order on BuiltBar.com. Again, that's BuiltBar.com. Use a promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off your first order. Doug Wilson Jr. after the draft said that we have strict criteria for the type of defenseman we'd like to draft. They're all very good skaters, 3 guys they drafted. And then he said, it's not necessarily the size, it's just the speed and how they think the game. You want your defenseman to be able to think the game at a high level. In the tape that you saw of Larocq and oh my God, I'm forgetting his name already, and Kashnikov, I know you said you didn't get a chance to watch a ton, and there's probably not a ton out there. Did you see like a solid hockey IQ or the intelligence that Doug Wilson talked about, or is it just too hard?
A bit with Larocq, maybe. I mean, Kashnikov was much more of just a puck-rushing guy from what I saw. And he also didn't – like, he only played, I think, 15 games in the QMJHL this year. I think he came over halfway through the year. And the team he played on in Russia was bad. So it's kind of hard to – like, he played on a bad Russian junior team, which is an impressive thing to do. But I haven't seen enough of either of those guys to be like, yeah, they're really, really smart.
Right, sure.
But Larocq, I think there's interesting things there. It's hard, too, because he played on a bad team in Victoria, and smart defenders that might have the right idea on a bad team might look a lot worse than they actually are. So I'd be curious to, like, pick Doug Wilson Jr.'s brain about him and, like, have him, like, walk me through it and say, like, hey, here's what we liked about him, and here's why we think there was something there when no one else did. And it could be an interesting case study, but I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I can't say Doug Wilson Jr. is like flat out wrong. I'm not going to be that guy.
Yeah, right.
You know, but I see what he's getting at. You know, like, yeah, size isn't a factor. And with Kachnikov, it's just nice that he's really big. But yeah, he can definitely skate, and I've definitely seen some really impressive skill and rush offense out of him that you might get something out of.
Is that the same for Larocq as well? He can skate. Like you said, yep. You watched him a couple times. He can also move, and he's not completely. He's
fine. Like, it's fine. Yeah. It's good enough. He's a good skater, and you know, he covers ice pretty well. There's a bit of skill there, but yeah, I mean, it's at 103. I think there's a lot of guys that I would have taken over him, but I don't know if they have a checklist of things that they're looking for in their defenseman specifically, and he hits that checklist. Great. And I can't say I watched him at all before the draft. I didn't even know who he was. So
I tweeted out, what the hell is a Gannon Larocq?
Yeah. I mean, I try to be on top of it as much as I can. Like, I try to watch as many guys as I can, but there's always guys who show up where I'm like, who in the hell is this guy? And I don't know. I still think that it was a little high, but considering they still came away with Cardwell and Gilmartin and Jacobson and swung on Kashnikov and got a goalie who isn't bad, I can't fault it that much. They did very well, especially for a team that had one pick in the top 80.
Yeah.
So, you know.
What did you think about their strategy where they kind of were targeting OHL guys who might have fallen because they didn't play much this year? Guys like, you know, McHugh and Goodrow and stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, if you have that many picks, it's fine. Like, if I was running an NHL draft table and there was other people at the table, then yeah, I'd want to listen to them and their expertise on guys from the OHL the prior year and being like, well, let's say they've been training all year and they could be this. And I haven't seen Gurriev. He's one of the guys that got drafted this year that I've never seen before. So I can't say much about him, but with McHugh, I kind of see what they're getting at. Like, there's that skill and high-end sort of, that sort of high-end brain, I think, that's there. I don't, he has a history of production as well. Just with London, he didn't play very many minutes. But he's another one where I do want to watch some more video on him, because in isolation, when I've seen him, he is kind of an impressive guy. So the way I've looked at OHL guys is say, okay, let's just go to their tape from the year before this one and assume they have not improved at all. Where do they sit on this year's draft board, and maybe bump them up a little bit higher than that? And there aren't a whole lot of guys that last year showcased a whole bunch where I'm like, holy shit, this guy should be a third or fourth round pick. But McHugh was at 156. Like, yeah, you know, that's one where it's like, you know what, if you got a guy who thinks he's a really, really good player and he interviewed well and you think he's a good fit for the team, then just do it. Especially when you have so many picks like they did. And especially when most of their picks, except for Gurriev and McHugh, were guys who there was a sample this year that you could work off of and deal with. So I would relent, especially if it's a guy like McHugh, having seen what I'd seen. Yeah, and that's especially when you look at the guys that didn't play this year that went way higher than that. You know, there's a few of them where I'm kind of sitting there going, I don't know. But he's a fine one. I don't really think it's that big of an issue. And there could be some really good value if those guys, had they played, might be a second or third round pick. So
do you think it's helpful that McHugh and Gilmartin are going to London?
Probably. I mean, that's not a bad place to play. Yeah, but
they're going to get paid, so congrats to them.
That's true. But yeah, I think it's a good... I mean, McHugh should play more there than he did before. I imagine he will. And Gilmartin should play a lot. I feel like the Hunters are going to love a guy like Liam Gilmartin on the team, so I feel like they're going to play them quite a bit. Again, I'm not sure of the upside of a guy like Gilmartin, but he should be a solid OHL power winger that has some skill too, which is, you know, you never know with that kind of a building block if he turns out to be something down the road. I think it's possible, especially for a pick at 167.
I wish they took guys who are a little younger for their age group with those swings, though. Like, I want to see, they're born January and February and they didn't score that well in their D minus 1 year. And so I was hoping they...
Yeah. I mean, with McHugh, he just wasn't playing. Like, I looked at his ice time 2 years ago, and it was like under 10 minutes. Like, it was like he was playing like 6 or 8 minutes a night, and you're not going to score very much playing that many minutes in the OHL. So I think there's something there, though. You kind of see it. He did play internationally for Canada last year at the under 17, or 2 years ago, last year, whatever. And I thought he looked pretty decent. So we'll see, you know.
Do you like them taking a goalie in the third? Like, what? Okay, so what's the deal with Ben Gaudreau? He played for Sarnia, played for only the under 18s. Is he legitimately the third best goalie in this draft? What is he?
I know some people think of him that way. I don't really know. I had him ranked at 79 just because, based on what I had seen at the under 18s and what I had heard from talking to people who are smarter about goaltending than myself. That he was a guy that should be drafted sort of in that mid round of the draft. You know, I think he's a guy where a lot of people looked at him and his 4.4 goals against average or whatever from last year, and he had like an 870 save percentage or something. But it's like, you watch Sarnia play. Like, I watched Sarnia play a lot last year with Jacob Perreault, and they were really awful. Like, they were terrible defensively. And so there are reasons for that, and the goaltender is on the receiving end of that. So I think that, again, I don't know. I can't tell you. I think at 81, judging by, like, if I just look at 81st overall and who went off the board soon after that, like Dmitry Kuzmin went the pick after him, and he would have been a ton of fun as a San Jose Shark. But I mean, like, yeah, like, looking at a bunch of these guys, they're all guys. And maybe Kuzmin would have been my guy there, but Gaudreau played well at the under 18. And if you're at 81, considering the guys that went shortly after him, sure, just take a swing on the goalie. It just kind of sucks that pick came from the pick that was Simon Robertson. And if San Jose could have come away from the draft with Eklund and Simon Robertson, that would have been a heck of a haul. I wonder why
they didn't do that.
I don't know. I've asked around about Robertson to a couple of people, and the only thing that makes sense is that he had a shitty under 18, didn't look great, and teams got spooked by his skating. But I've seen more than enough of him to be like, there was something rotten with that Swedish team anyway. Like, top to bottom, none of those guys were playing super well. I've seen all of those guys play better in Sweden outside of international tournaments, and I don't understand why. I've talked to a couple of Swedes, and they're all on board with Robertson being way undervalued. So I don't know. Maybe there just wasn't a quorum that he was a guy that San Jose would pick, and they just went, all right, we'll just trade down, and St. Louis swooped in and got him. Or maybe they just thought he would slip further. Like, they thought maybe he'd be available at 81. I don't know. But
yeah, I don't, because they would have scouted him a lot, because they would have been heavy Swedish scouting with Eklund, Edvinson, Wallstedt, which we know that they were looking at. So it makes sense that they would have. They obviously didn't like something enough to not pick him way late.
Yeah, and like, I mean, even the most conservative people I've talked to about him going into the draft, who were not on the train about Simon Robertson, even the most conservative said that he'll probably be an NHL player and play maybe third line offensive minutes, and that's going to be his job. So if you can get that in the third round, then what are you doing? Just take him. You know, like, if he's that much of a sure thing that he won't not play, and if the only thing holding him back is learning how to skate better, which to me, in a straight line, sure, he could skate better and generate speed a little bit better, but I don't know. I wish I could tell you, but
I wonder if they looked at their 2020 class and William Eklund and said, we need to draft something, like, we need to start taking swings elsewhere, because they have so, like, that's literally 10 wingers in a row.
I mean,
they took. So, like, I just wonder, I wonder if they weighed, like, Simon Robertson could be a third liner, but Ben Gaudreau could be a starter, and that is more valuable. Like, I wonder if it was just came down to like a numbers game.
Very true. That easily could be the case. And I would not have much to say outside of countering that. I mean, there weren't that many goalies that I would have picked this year, but, but Gaudreau was one of them from what I've been told and what I've seen. You know, I thought they could have dropped, maybe not picked Gaudreau and gone for like a Kirill Gerasimyuk really late in the draft, like Florida did, because he's bonkers. But, you know, Gaudreau he's got the resume. I thought he played well at the under 18s when he needed to. And we'll see. I don't know. I'm not a huge goalie expert, but I've heard good things about him. And if he's a guy, if you get your starting goaltender with an 81st pick overall when Jesper Wallstedt went 20th, I think you're doing okay. It's not the end of the world.
The disrespect to Sebastian Kosa going 14th or whatever.
That was wild.
That was a time.
So the most recent research I've seen from Prashant Iyer about like players' wins above replacement once they get to the NHL, the opportunity cost of drafting a goalie over a skater starts to basically like diminish in the third and fourth round, such that you're unlikely, like Kyle said, to get a much better skater at that point in the draft. So, however,
I just like that they took a freaking goalie finally. And not one that projects to be like Mantas Armalis. Maybe he could be an AHL player.
He's a model. You choose your words carefully.
He should be. We just looked up the team.
He's playing on a team somewhere. Yeah,
we just were talking about. Was it Djurgården? Maybe
I don't. Yeah, maybe playing at Djurgården with Eklund or something like that. I don't know. He's playing in Sweden somewhere. Oh God, what else?
What was, I want to get some of your bigger like draft thoughts since Eric has lost his thought here.
It is Djurgården. He plays on the same team as William Eklund.
We're going to Stockholm, boys, to see both of our friends.
What, outside the Eklund pick, what was your favorite pick in the draft just altogether? So,
oh man.
This is going to be a name that 95% of us haven't heard of.
Yeah, probably. Ready?
No. Oh, that's a good question. I mean, like, there's so many different kinds of favorite. Like, Olin Zellweger at 34 to Anaheim, I was sitting there going, like, yes. Like, someone gets it. Like, there's a team out there where they're like, screw it, let's take the small guy who plays defense who's really good and really young. Bang. Like, that. And I thought he'd be available, like, later into the second round than that some team might just say, let's take a flyer on him, when in reality you're taking a first-round prospect. So I was really pleasantly surprised to see him at 34. There was a lot of guys who slipped really far, but I could very clearly tell why. Like Nikita Chibrikov at 50, to the Jets. Like, not very many places had him ranked anywhere outside the first round. Like, on average, I'm looking at his ranking at 23. I have him at 22. But I've seen a lot of him this year, and like 5% of the time, you're going to get a top 20 player, I think. But then 60% of the time, he's not a first-round prospect, and the rest of the time, he probably wouldn't be drafted if he played like that. He's extraordinarily all over the place, and you never know what you're going to get out of him. But when he's good, he's good. But yeah. I don't think NHL teams are really interested in those kinds of players. They want consistency and stability and projectability. And I mean, I think that can just cause good opportunity costs for other teams where they go, okay, you know, like Winnipeg kind of looked at Nikita Chibrikov at 50 and said, well, okay, like if he works out, we've got a first round player here and we might be taking a risk and there might be safer picks. Like, I don't know, like say Atu Ratu going 2 picks later, another guy who slipped way too far, you know, but
Kyle cried for like 20 minutes.
I tried not to.
The Islanders is not. Do we really want to see Atu Ratu on the Islanders? I don't think anybody does.
I want
Atu Ratu successful. That's what I want. If that's with the Islanders, I don't care. I feel like, look, if he has a phone call with Lou Lamoriello, it could go one of two ways, I think. either Lou Lamoriello sort of takes him under his wing and is like, hey, it's a fresh start. We mean business, but like it's a fresh start for you. Don't worry too much. Or he's like, we know your shit. And that's why you fell. So don't make us look stupid by being even worse than people thought you were. Good luck. Hang up the phone and walk away. I don't know what would have happened there. I don't even know if he would have called him. Probably not. But we'll see. but yeah, that's the biggest thing. It's just a bunch of guys that I really, really liked, that most people really, really liked, slipping really far. And it always tends to happen, but I think this year it happened.
Who's the farthest, most egregious slip? Like Aaron Martino in 73, but I don't know if that's egregious.
No, I don't think that's egregious. I mean, Simon Robertson, I had him at 16 and he went 71st. Who else? Dylan Duke, I think, was pretty egregious. I mean, at 126, like, I don't know. I've seen a lot of some of the guys that went around him, like, I don't know, Topias Vilén and Liam Dower-Nielsen and James Malatesta, and I love Dylan Duke so much more than those other guys. And Dylan Duke is a theft of from Tampa Bay. They just walked in, told the Montreal Canadiens, "Hey, we'll take your fourth round pick because you don't seem to want it, and we'll give you one next year." And they took probably a guy that to me would be at least a top 40 pick. He probably is the guy that slipped the most. He was the guy that slipped the most that I had in my first round. A couple of guys I had in my second round went undrafted, five of them.
Reynolds?
No, I didn't have Peter Reynolds ranked. Okay, the Peter Reynolds and Trevor Wong thing, I totally understand why those guys went undrafted. If the guys that slipped a little bit slipped for the reasons that they pretty clearly slipped because of, those guys were going to go undrafted. Like, teams just weren't looking for players like that. They were looking for, it seems like if they were unsure, they were just going to draft guys who were 6'4" or more, and we'll see. And they could maybe skate and just try to build the rest out. Like, it really felt like a lot of picks were just kind of throwing caution to the wind with giant defensemen who maybe some of them will work out, as opposed to undersized skill guys who aren't super consistent and can't score consistently in junior hockey.
Yeah, which is so, well, it was weird to me because I'm not a scout by any means, but just sort of like trying to find interesting names. It seemed like there's so many more interesting, weird, like forward available than the word defenseman. Like, looking at the list of defensemen, you're like, okay, once these like 10 guys are gone, like, whatever, I don't care. And forwards, you're like, oh, there's, I could get behind one. And so it was weird to see them go in the other direction.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's another thing I was kind of surprised about. There were 17 straight picks that were not defensemen, which in the first round, like from 9 through 24, all were forwards. And that's pretty wild. Usually you don't see that, especially when you've got defensemen on the board like Carson Kuhlmans and Carson Lambos and who else? Even Oleg Zellweger. Daniil Chayka, yeah, Scott Morrow too.
Yeah. Svozil went really late. He went super late.
75 or something like that.
Svozil went to Columbus. Columbus fucking slapped. They just came in. They came in and just took everybody's lunch money, I think. I mean, I'm not the biggest Corson Coolamans fan, but I don't give a shit. The rest of the guys they picked,
So Columbus went Ken Johnson at 5, yeah. Cole Sillinger at 12, yeah, Corson Coolamans at 25, yep. Svozil 69, and then Guillaume Richard, Nikolai Makarov, James Malatesta, Ben Boyd, and Martin Rissavi.
Yep. The first four picks are all potentially first round guys. And
isn't James Malatesta good too in the fifth round?
He's kind of up that Peter Reynolds alley for me. I didn't have him ranked, but he could be something, I guess. He was good when I saw him last year, but his game kind of stepped back this year. So maybe that's just a buy low on a bad year kind of thing. But yeah, I mean, like I'm imagining the Columbus Blue Jackets with Yegor Chinnikov on the ice, and you've got Ken Johnson teeing him up on power plays. Like, good luck. You know, like that's terrifying. And they took a chance on Johnson at 5 to me a little bit, but who cares? I think that
praise
they did
be
a really
to the Columbus Blue Jackets for not taking William Eklund.
That's true. Yep. Praise
be. Seriously.
Yep.
Seriously.
Yeah. I mean, it would have been my pick. Eklund would have been my pick, but Johnson would not be a bad choice either. But Eklund would have been the guy. So
I think Ken Johnson was all of our, like, if Clark and Eklund are gone and they take Ken Johnson, we'll be okay. We'll get through it and it's fine. Yeah. Yeah. So we're not disappointed, but we are very excited. Are you a degenerate gambler because your dad taught you how to gamble on football at 10 years old, and then you grew up listening to Bill Simmons and Sal Guess the Lines every Sunday? Because that's me, and I bet you there's a lot of you like that. So go to Bet Online, the fastest and easy way to bet on all your sports action. And right now, baseball season is in full swing, and there's 100 million games of those, so you can bet on a lot of baseball games, and you can track all of your action at Bet Online. You can get all the latest news, odds, info for all your sporting needs. So baseball's in full swing. The Open is this week or last week, if you heard it, but there's a golf tournament every week. There's UFC. I'm sure you could bet on wrestling. There's all sorts of stuff you can bet on until football season starts up in a couple months. So before the next pitch, head over to Bet Online on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest info. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs or start their seasons. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Use promo code LOCKEDON.
Of other guys who slipped, Sasha Pastyov fell quite a bit. Is his like skating and defense just that bad?
Yes.
All right.
Obviously, again, like Tyler Boucher, with all due respect, but that's why he slipped. Like, yeah. That's why. And there's no, it's really not good. Like, he's one of those guys where the game needs to be played at his pace before he's comfortable. And I don't like that. And he's got the skill under pressure to make it work right now, but I don't know. Again, like, where did he go? 66 to so 66 to the Ducks.
He scored a shitload. I just don't.
Yep. Yeah, but like I think he's like Zion Neubeck scored a shitload, and I don't think he's going to be an NHL player. You know, like, I think he's just one of those guys for similar reasons. Like, he just takes the foot off the gas pedal if he doesn't have the puck. You know, he's smart. He's super smart with the puck, and he knows when to pass it. He knows how to get around a layer or two, but I just find it hard to see him projecting. I think it's a reasonable pick at 66, though. Like, I had him at 47. The average rank I had was 36. He's really young. But again, like, the thing is, with him at 66, there were just other guys that I think just were better options even then. But again, like, at 66, I think it's reasonable. Like, if his name came up and half my scouting team was really skeptical about Simon Robertson and half of them were really skeptical about Ayrton Martino, and a lot of them were like, you know what, with Pastyov, we think the brain is there to make it work, then okay, fine, whatever. I'm not going to put up a fight, especially considering he was like the fourth guy off Anaheim's board. But yeah, like, that's the big, that you hit the big reasons why people didn't really value him.
I bet he gets whipped into shape in college and ends up killing it. I think,
well, everybody will, though. That's the thing. Like, he might develop, but so will everybody else, you know? Like,
well, he's young. I like the youth too. The production is like there despite these things. He's going to get whipped into shape in college.
He's got a ways to go. He's got
We forgot to tell you that Eric is now Sylvia Plath with a friggin' pentagram and like an astrology sign now.
Yeah, it's really bad.
Speaking of Aaron Martino, you know who had a really good draft was Dallas. They went Johnston in the first round, which whatever, I think he's fine. Then Logan Stankoven, Artem Grushnikov, Aaron Martino, Justin Ertl, Connor Roulette, Jack Barr at 138, Jacob Holmes, Francesco Arcuri, and Albert Schuberg. That's a good draft.
It is an extremely good draft. It is.
They're going to have, because I don't think Maverick Bork is super big, right?
No.
So really. Maverick Bork, Ayrton Martino, and Logan Stankoven all on the same team.
Oh, boy. yeah, they had a great day, or a couple of days. I mean, you guys know how I feel about Stankoven. I know for a fact that there were multiple teams that really wanted him, and they could not believe what was happening. But they just couldn't get a deal done to make it work for some reason. And so he just slipped to 47 and Dallas just took him. You know, Ayrton Martino, I mean, I think there's question marks about him legitimately for sure, but I don't really think about those that much because I think he can overcome it. I think he's just so smart and so creative. And you know, if you place him in the right situation, he could be a hell of a player. And I think they can. Like, they drafted kind of a similar type of guy that leans heavily offensively in Jason Robertson, and I don't think they look back at all. Grushnikov, I don't mind that pick. It's a little bit higher than I had him ranked, but as a physical defense-first guy, good for you. I think there's a good player there. Ertel, I liked him. I mean, I was watching him play in the Maritime Junior A League, which is...
That sounds like an awful time.
It's an adventure. But if that guy ever learns how to skate better... you're going to end up with a heck of a guy. He's a big, powerful, creative playmaking winger that, you know, he's kind of slow, but he's pretty fun to watch and he's creative. And that's all bet on that. It might've been a bit high, but again, considering the value they got elsewhere, I don't care. Connor Roulette, kind of the same deal as like an Ayrton Martino. Almost. He does not care about defense from what I've seen, but he does have a lot of skill and creativity and he can pass well. And offensively, he put up a lot of really interesting data that I tracked. But outside the offensive zone, he kind of disappeared into the ether. And I think that's a big reason why someone who scored that much slipped that far. The rest of them, I liked Arcuri overseas when he was playing in the Alps League, the same league as Pennelly, and he put up better point totals and better involvement totals. And, you know, I think that Pennelly's the better prospect, but Arcuri was undervalued, I think. And Jack Barr is another one where I don't think there's a huge amount of upside. And I think some people were really high on him when that might've been a bit of a stretch, but at 138, like, he's got some skill. He's smart. He's big. He can be physical. You can bet on that. But yeah, I mean, the first couple of picks they landed there in the value side, especially on day two, yeehaw, full send. I love it. I'm ready to party.
All right. Who had which team had the best draft? Which team had the worst draft?
The worst draft is Ottawa. And it's like three, it's like 3 years in a row. And can we stop with Trent Mann love fest?
All right. Okay. Well, I'll walk the tightrope a little. So we can talk about the Ottawa Senators. Like with Tyler Boucher, I mean, I was blown away. I was blown away when they made that pick, but I get it. Like, what you can't fault the Ottawa Senators for absolutely being certain of the identity they want to be. Ever since they drafted Brady Tkachuk, I think they've fallen in love with that type of player. Everybody has to be Brady Tkachuk. And if you're not Brady Tkachuk, get the hell out of town. Eric Branstrom, we don't need you. Screw off. Like, they're bringing in guys who are annoying and they're physical and they pester you and they piss you off. And they enjoy pissing you off and they find it more funny when you are pissed off. And they're just that raggedy bunch of dickheads that win games and grind it out. And Tyler Boucher is an example of that type of player. He is a physical player. He's got a bit of skill. He's pretty smart with the puck. It's just, he didn't play very much. And after the pick, I mean, I spent a lot of time before the draft because I heard that Tyler Boucher was a guy that scouts were really valuing last minute. He was one of those guys that was kind of doing this at the last minute for no reason, where that happens every year. There's someone where it's like they're just doing this in the last week of the draft all of a sudden, and Boucher was that guy. And so I was like, okay, I need to get a better look at this guy. And I watched him, And I'm going, okay, like, I kind of get it. I think he's realistically a top two round guy. And I could see how over a full season, he might be a guy that goes in the late first round. I could see that. Granting that to the Ottawa Senators, I can see that. And then you have to make the jump of like, well, then why would you pick him at 10? And that the only reason you pick him at 10 is because he fits the identity your team is looking for to a T. And nobody else does. I don't think very many other guys do. And we'll see if it pays off. I think there is something to be said for knowing what you want out of a draft pick and drafting a player that perfectly fits that style and then enabling that style even more. I think that you could get something out of him in that sense, but holy shit, they certainly have a philosophy and they're really sticking to it. We'll see if it works out for them. But in terms of teams that did well and not so well, I don't think Ottawa is a team that did poorly, but they're definitely leaving a lot of value on the table in pursuit of that identity.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how it works. But I mean, I think that what was really interesting is Carolina was very annoying because it took forever to do the draft because they kept trading picks. But they traded the pick that became Zach LaRue and got Scott Morrow and Ville Koivunen out of it, which I think was a stroke of brilliance, and it took trading out of the first round, which is kind of a scary concept sometimes. But in this year's draft, when I was looking at the names going off the board and who was likely to slip out of the first round, it's like, yeah, shit, I'd probably trade out of the first round too if it meant getting two mid-second round picks out of it. Like, let's just see who slips and pick up the pieces. And getting Morrow, Hamisalmi, and Koivunen in the second round, hopefully at least one of those works out. And I could see a world where at least two work out.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that they did really well in the later rounds with Jackson Blake, Robert Orr, Bryce Montgomery is an interesting late round bet. Nikita Gustlistov and Joel Nystrom, I know they have their fans. Gustlistov played in the KHL, and I think he was named captain of his team, and he's 20, which is, I think, the youngest captain in KHL history. I thought he was a guy that might get a flyer, so he did. Great. But they had a really good couple of days, or I guess it was all on Saturday. I thought Calgary also had a good draft. I like Coronado. Strömgren is a nice bet. Cole Jordan is a nice bet. I like Cole Hutchins a lot. I think there's a third line aggressive physical guy there. But Columbus, I think, when you look at like the correlation between like value and upside, like pure, like you picked high and you swung for upside, like Columbus is kind of up there. They had high picks, they swung big, they went big, and I think they could get rewarded for it. Whereas with Ottawa, you know, like they got some players. Like I like Zach Ostapchuk, I like Tyler Boucher, but those guys are bottom of the lineup guys, maybe third line guys that are annoying and physical, but not really much of an impact driver. And they took a few interesting swings like Carson Latimer and Oliver Johansson, who I've kind of liked, but Columbus and Dallas, I think, are the guys that did really, really well. Carolina played it probably the smartest out of anyone. And yeah, I thought Ottawa left a lot on the board, to say the least, but they might just have a different set of priorities, and we'll have to see how it works out for them. I don't know what else to say.
They should trade Josh Norris back to the Sharks because he doesn't fit that identity.
They should trade Eric Brännström already because they're not going to play
him.
That's true.
They should trade Tim Stützle too. He doesn't fit that identity.
I think the Sharks should go get Brännström. That'd be great.
I would do it. Brännström, Knyazev, and Merkley on the same team. Sign me up.
Yeah,
And Gannon LaRocque. Well, Santeri Hatak is there, and that he fits those guys too. He's like the shittiest version of all of them, but he's still good enough to be them.
He's
and then of course Erik Karlsson will be there till the earth burns up into a small husk. So last two things before we get you out of here. First one, do you have anything else to say about William Eklund?
Enjoy him.
Did you buy your jersey yet?
No, I will not ever. I will not. I'm going to wait because I have made the mistake of getting a jersey made of a player that's been drafted before they get their jersey number.
Mm.
And then you feel like a fool.
It's all right. You'll be fine in October. So
he wears 72. Yeah. So are they going to take that away from him?
Yeah. No one else has that.
Yeah. So San Jose assigns them. It's very odd how San Jose does it. They have the AHL and the NHL have the same pool of numbers.
Uh-huh.
So if somebody wears 72 already, that he can't get it.
what, like Rudolph's Balsers wears 72, so they're not going to give it to William Eklund.
No, he's 92. But I don't think anyone, has the
nerdiest answer in unison, no.
I don't think anyone has.
Well, guy, yeah, R.I.P. Tim Heed. Or
true, so, Tim Heed. That's
my boy. Yeah.
Oh, Tim Heed, a boy this done is dirty by
making Manning graphics for the Sharks for the past, you know, like 3 years. I've learned all the numbers. And
you said he wears Tim number 72.
He yeah. did. Tim Heed did. Yeah.
No. William Eklund. I don't care.
Eklund.
So only two players in the history of the San Jose Sharks have worn number 72. Tim Heed from 2017-20, and the only other time was in 2011 by Brandon Machinter.
Oh, that's a dank.
So it's his. I love it. I'm gonna go to the SHL store right now.
Oh, there's an idea. They have really cool blue jerseys.
Somebody does wear 72 already. Hold on. I just saw it and then I clicked off. The suspense is killing everybody. It's a defenseman.
It's probably guy named Ron.
Is it?
No, it's our boy, Eric. It's our boy, Chaz Redekop.
God.
So he'll be gone. So 72 is
just buried. They're gonna bury him where they're in the new Barracuda stadium.
Our boy, the guys that you consider one of my boys are all
Chaz Wedekop is from Kelowna. He's 24 years old, drafted in the seventh round of 2015.
What's his birthday though?
It's probably January.
Yeah, January 1st,
1997. Oh. He's off Eric's boys list.
January babies who don't score points in the draft year shouldn't get drafted.
Fire him into the sun. Let's get rid of him.
Don't draft him. Did they re-sign him at all? Or is he?
I don't think so. It's probably just a 1 year deal to fill in their girth and depth on the AHL blue line.
All right. So it seems to be safe. Because Noah Gregor was 73. Okay.
And Knyazhov is 71. Nice little sandwich there.
Oh, there you go. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nice. That's good. I like this. We got William Eklund better wear 72. It's a sweet number.
It is a sweet number. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Final question. Give the Sharks a draft grid. Do you want to know ours first?
I'd say like a B+.
Oh, it's closer to me than you guys.
B plus to an A-. I mean, getting Eklund is like godly. Like that, I love him so much as a player, and
you do too.
It's like I see why he fell to 7, but it still doesn't make sense to me. I would have taken him as high as 2 because Beniers would have been my number 1. I don't know, but yeah, like I thought they maybe could have done a bit better in the depth rounds, but I don't really care that much. They got a decent goalie in Gaudreau, and maybe there's something there. And they took some big swings on guys like Jacobson and Gilmartin and Cardwell. And I like Kashnikov as well. There's an offensive rush that sticks out in my mind whenever I think about him. And I feel like with a player that's good when even if it's just one little play that sticks out to you, it kind of means something. So there's something maybe there. So I think they did well. Maybe not as well as maybe some other teams, but who cares? They got the jewel, I think, of the top 10.
I like jewels. Run the jewels, baby.
Yeah.
Okay, Will, talk about whatever you want to talk about. This is your time to shine. Go nuts.
Sure.
What coming up?
What do I have coming up? Very little, thank God. Very little, thank God. Yeah, yes. Taking a little break. Only like 3 weeks until the Russian hockey gets going. So. Enjoy it while it lasts. But yeah, I mean, either way, follow me on Twitter @scouching, YouTube @scouching. There's going to be a live stream Wednesday the 28th. I don't know when this will go up, but we'll be going through every single team
tonight.
Okay, there you go. Tonight, where we'll be going through every single team and who they picked, 8 p.m. Eastern time, and just giving them. We're making a tier list because I'm a YouTuber, so that's going to happen, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm sure it will go extremely well, and people will treat me with respect. It's going to be great. So can't wait. Follow me on Twitter, YouTube. You can get on the Patreon as well. Plenty of perks, or read my stuff at McKeensHockey.com.
Yeah. And scouching is spelled like couch with an S and an ING at the end. It's pretty straightforward at this point. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Sharks. Please keep sending your information. Not your information. You can send your information if you want. I will steal your identity. Please keep sending your podcast ideas for the summer, because we are quickly running out of content as the NHL ends into the off season. We'll be down to 3 shows a week starting next week, hopefully for about 2 months. So yeah, we're going to need ideas. We have some interviews lined up, but more than happy to explore the deep recesses of a broken fan base's brain. So that's Locked On Sharks on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Locked On Sharks. JD puts up all our work there. So if you want to DM us there, we will see it. Email lockedonsharks@gmail.com. I lost the password, so don't email us. Eric's at foulball15. JD's at my fry hole. I'm at Kyle Demetrius. Will, you ever go by Bill? You should go by Bill when you're old. Bill Scouch.
Bill was my grandpa, but I'll take it. He's gone now.
You got to start smoking a pipe and like wear one of those like cap hats, the forward, like the page boy hats.
Oh,
and
sure.
Bill. Yeah.
All right.
Will is at Scouching, S-C-O-U-C-H-I-N-G. Obviously works for McKean's and runs his own operation on Instagram and everywhere else, scouching.ca. Thanks, Will. I'm sure you'll be back for the 2022 draft in, I don't know, 3 months.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, probably.
Thanks, man.
NBA GOAT Chad Ford, Locked On NBA draft host Rafael Barlow, and Locked On NBA host John Carlos will be live this year covering the NBA draft. It's Locked On NBA Draft 2021 brought to you by Built Bar. Get local expert analysis on each pick. Follow Locked On NBA on YouTube today and watch our live coverage on July 29th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time.